courage, okay? Courage, okay? What is courage? It's just the ability to trust God. Courage is a confidence in God. And it's supernatural because only God can give it. Usually it's a peace that passes understanding. You don't know why you're so at peace when your world is crashing around you. But we live in a time where that which is shaken is being shaken. I mean, we're looking at institutions that have been around for 150 years and just crumbling. I just got a letter from our bank saying it's no longer our bank. It's somebody else's bank. They just bought it out. I mean, I don't think any of us are immune to seeing this change that's going on in the banking system. I think all of us are going to be seeing signs. It would be a good time to be a sign maker, you know what I mean? Because they keep changing every week. And, you know, one's taken over by another. The stock market's dropping all over the place. Of course, all you folks are really concerned about that, having all your stocks and convertible debentures and liquid assets and all that sort of stuff. You know, you have your little iPhone that can get you this immediate stock quote so you can keep on the, you know, you can get in touch with your broker right away whenever things change, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I know most of us, economic disaster hit 20 years ago, so I mean, this is no big deal, but the world is caught up in a frenzy right now, and fear's a big thing, isn't it? People are afraid, and really, we don't know yet how far the chain reaction of this is going to lead. But we have found that we are all interconnected. You know, if there's a hurricane down in the Gulf Coast, it does affect us, even up here. My daughter called up and she said, "Dad, we have no gas." And this is in Charlotte. She's on lines for 2 or 3 hours and they only allow her 1 gallon of gas. And, you know, it's like one hurricane passes by and all of a sudden they're waiting for hours looking for gas. So we're in a time where, you know, things are really in an upheaval. Just kind of nice being in this sort of neck of the woods. We seem to be in the cleft of a rock, isn't it? I mean, we don't get the hurricanes. We don't, although, you know, we get some rain, but that's okay. But, you know, generally folks are afraid. And fear is a nasty thing because it'll affect your worship. If you allow what's catching people up right now to get a hold of you, it'll affect your worship and it eventually become what you worship. That's the crazy thing about fear. That's the crazy thing about watching too much of TV, particularly the news. It can help get you conformed to what the world's thinking. You know, they have all these advisors. They all are saying something different. But the prophetic word that's going forth is much like God was speaking to Israel back in the Old Testament. He was saying, do not fear the gods of the enemy. When you go into the land, do not fear them nor partake of them. When you go and watch TV, do not turn on to CNN and become a convert. Don't be conformed to the fear and panic that's taking over the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, folks, whenever things get like this, it becomes even more incredible an opportunity for the church to rise up into miracle territory and claim their inheritance. We sometimes get to the point where we're used to living as mere men and mere women, as human beings, and the normal becomes the norm. We're not expecting, nor are we encountering the supernatural. And so we get a little bit jaded. We get comfortable there. And so God has to stir us up by bringing circumstances around us that will force us into the supernatural. And here's how it works. When you hear bad news, the supernatural response is to get happy. When you hear fear, you stir your faith up and you get, oh, I'm walking into miracle territory. This is my opportunity. This is my finest hour. And the thing about miracles is they reveal the character of God to people who don't know Him. More than any other way, miracles are, well, they were important to Jesus. And they should be important to us. Let's just turn for a moment to John 10 and 37. Do I have my video guy? Mr. Sean, not only does he lead worship, but he leads video guys.
He's our video guy. Thank you. Didn't he do a good job today? Praise God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we cover for one another when the guitar loses a string or whatever. We just pass the football. But I just appreciate that. Yeah, and I also want to commend Mr. Chris. Chris, I mean, he's just, he came out, he's just getting us all set up, and he encouraged us to sing out so we could be heard, and we're just learning, and we're all receiving from one another, and we all want the same thing, don't we? We want to just provide a place of excellence whereby the Holy Spirit can be heard and can move. Praise God. So thank you. What's that? John 10:37. I love the large print edition. Jesus is saying, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Go on. But if I do, though you believe not in me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus so believed in the work of miracles through him that he said, if I don't do miracles, don't believe me at all. You know, when you go into a foreign country and you preach the gospel, there's two meetings. There's the regular meeting and there's the believer's meeting. The believer's meeting is when supernatural things happen and people come out of there healed. By the way, do you know Jesus never said pray for the sick? He said heal the sick. I'll just leave that with you. He didn't say pray for him. He said heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. You know, raise the dead. It's just commands. So when we're really understanding our inheritance to move in miracles, we just proclaim what we want to see happen over people. And it happens. When you pray, sometimes there's unbelief mixed in. Lord, if you will. What do you mean if he will? Of course he will. He said he would. So Jesus said, if I don't do miracles, oh, praise God, David shouts to heaven with a voice of triumph. Praise God for those pacifiers. Hallelujah. If I don't hit oil pretty soon, I'm going to need one. All right. Jesus is basically saying, if I don't do miracles, don't believe in me. Whoa, that's huge. Now, how many of you realize Jesus is pretty good theology? I'd say he's perfect theology. Wouldn't you say that? If you say, are miracles for today? Well, is Jesus alive? Yep. So miracles should flow. We know this. But the thing is that how many of us have settled for just the same old, same old? And we're not expecting God to move supernaturally. And I understand that, you know, our faith is a gift. And it grows as a fruit. We're all given a measure of faith. And then God expects us to invest that faith in trusting God for more and more and more and more until it grows and becomes mature. All right? You know, all of us at some point struggled with our salvation. You know, I mean, we prayed the prayer, we had some experience, and then we were, you know, confronted somehow, and we came to a place where we doubted. Anybody have that experience where when they were a young Christian? Yes. You doubted your salvation. But you kept investing your faith into the Word of God. And it began to grow until a point it's a settled issue. All right? Is there anybody where it's not a settled issue in this church? I'll talk to you afterwards. Okay. But I mean, you know, okay, we've crossed that threshold. And then there's other thresholds. Okay? But do you understand that, you know, we're to go from faith to faith, glory to glory? It might be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? You just you prayed the prayer once and you invited that to happen. It didn't happen. And, you know, so you might just put that thing away. But we are made a supernatural people to move in supernatural experiences. So it's for us to do and to embrace. And so what we do is we come to the place where we align our will to His will. We fully yield our will to His will. And then we perform those things that only God is capable of doing, like speaking in tongues. How many of you realize that's a supernatural act of God? You know, I mean, But it's a gift that's given to us, all right? So it's all about us maturing in our faith. It's just pressing through. It might be in the area of giving, okay? We might be struggling, you know, especially now, okay? It's like, you know, everything's squeezing back, and we feel like, you know, it's maybe a time to pull back. But you know what the Holy Spirit says? Just the opposite. Okay, it's the time to trust Him. Trust Him as your source, okay? And that means to just, you know, put reason to the side, put the Word of God in front, and you invest in the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, if we could turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says to get happy when things are unhappy. You know what I mean? It says, you know, it says, offer yourself a living sacrifice. Oh, that's verse 2, isn't it? Could you give me verse 1? Thank you. I beseech you, I beg you, okay? This is Paul. I said, please, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, folks, for many of us, a closed heaven is between the ears. Thank you. Somebody got it. For many of us, myself included, a closed heaven is between the ears. It's our mind. Yeah. And I recognize, I said, why aren't more miracles happening through me? I mean, I know it's the Lord that wants to release His power to influence the culture around here. I like to see people get out of wheelchairs and the whole thing. Why doesn't it happen more? And I believe it has to do with this thing called the mind that gets in the way. What if? And so we need it to be renewed. How's it renewed? Just in the Word. Just in the Word. Just in the Word. And, you know, you just, you know, if you're struggling over healing, I encourage you to go through the Gospels and read what Jesus did until it just becomes part of your spirit. Until it just, you know, you get to expect the supernatural to flow through you. You just come to a place where you no longer settling for the normal. You're expecting the supernatural, and you're pressing into that. In the area of finances, what a good opportunity now to believe God for the supernatural. I mean, every week this church goes onto the threshold of the supernatural. And the way we do it is at the end of the week, we clear all the accounts. There's no money left. From week to week, we clear everything. No savings, nothing. The only savings we had was for the boiler fund, and now that's gone. Clear that baby out, and we're going to have a new boiler. Praise God. In just another week or so. So we thank God for the faithfulness of everyone helping out with that. It's been a couple years, hasn't it? Well, that's. And I kept believing God for supernatural multiplication of that, but the Lord answered it in a different way, and we just had the extra money that we needed taken care of, and that was just somebody moved upon by God to do that. Did you have something? Yes. It is. I know. I mean, praise God. There's somebody sitting here today that was used by God when they first came here to write a back tithe check of several years that got us through a critical moment where we needed the exact amount that they wrote that check for in order to make that account the next day. I mean, you know, We live on the edge of a miracle, on the brink of disaster all the time. So do you.
Elam, so do you. I mean, you know, if you're in the building, right, Chris? I mean, you know, it's like you're just like a bird waiting for the next berry to drop from heaven, you know, so that you can be sustained. But that's okay, because what the Lord's trying to do is he's saying, okay, you've done well. You know, you believe me for this. Now, move to the next level. Increase your trust in me. And let's just take this to another level. Don't be satisfied that, you know, you're just on this level. I mean, I believe God has something better for us than mere survival. He said life and life abundantly, okay? And that he wants us corporately to be moving in a miraculous realm, not only financially, but every other which way you can imagine. I mean, I'm believing that it's a no-flu zone. It's a no... you know, backache zone. It's a no headache zone. You know what I mean? When that we will be a people that know what the children of Israel knew in their time when the curses went upon the Egyptians and the folks in the land of Goshen had the protection of God over them. All right. The point of it all is that, you know, God is calling us to just be comfortable in the supernatural and the miraculous. And I believe in this hour, the call to courage that the Lord's looking for is a people who are at peace and who are at rest in their spirit. They're not anxious. They're not, you know, carrying this heavy weight on their shoulders. Like I see so many people as I go around, I take care of pianos for people, and they're all, you know, they're all worried about their investments, their retirement. You know, where they're going to get credit. You know, the answers to this is don't buy credit. Don't worry about your retirement. I mean, it just takes the load off your shoulders. You know what I mean? Let the Lord be your insurance policy. Let him be your life insurance. Let him be your health insurance. You know what I mean? It just takes a real load of how am I going to pay this bill? Well, just don't pay it at all. Just, you know, invest your faith and trust in the Lord. Now, you know, we might not all be there yet. Maybe we never will, but the point of it all is we're moving towards something where we're guided by the peace of God to move into a miraculous realm where it's like there's a peace that passes on. I mean, I don't understand it, but there's such a settledness that's come into me over the past year at the area of finances, both personally and the church. And I'm just like you. We get surprises all the time. I just got a bill from the plumber who came in and did our system. It was about $1,000 more than I expected it to be. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I was expecting it to be one thing. Big surprise. And then on top of that, some other things. And it was like, no big deal. You know, it's like the way I look at it is the Lord called me to preach. Therefore, it's his responsibility to take care of me. I mean, you know, it's just... he's my dad. He's going to take care of me. You know, it's like, I don't know how. I just can't figure it out. A crowd this small, paying for a building this big, don't figure. But every week, every month at least, sometimes we get a week and it goes like, whoa, oh my goodness, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And you have to average this thing out the next week, makes up for it. We have money coming in from people who don't even go to this church. God moves upon them, and they send this from time to time, just when we need it. And I'm not saying this to pump us up. I'm just saying it's just a gain place of rest that's built upon a trust. I had to figure this out. I said, Lord, did you call me to preach? And there was a time where I was tempted to go back into the business realm entirely and give up the ministry because, you know, if God didn't want me in there, you know, I had to have this thing settled in my heart. And, you know, you take that step and it's like, whew, it's a big one. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, when it was settled in my heart, it was like there was a rest and there still is. It's like, that's taken care of. That's a gained place. That's there. Now what I'm believing for is the finances of people in this church to go to another level where they're at rest. You're moving in that place of just rest. And I believe the oil comes down. I believe I can't expect that of you until I'm walking in it myself. both for us individually, for our finances, and also for the church. And literally, it's a miracle thing. And I wondered, Lord, why haven't you increased us numerically, financially, whatever? And I think in some purpose that God has, he's been holding back so that he could develop something in the supernatural realm of trust. I mean, how many of you realize that when you're moving in the miraculous, it's filled with contradictions? And so I want to take you to a story that I love stories because they communicate doctrine in a far more incredible way than I think mere doctrine itself. But let's just take a look at one of my favorite guys in 1 Samuel chapter 14, 6. We're gonna read this story together. I'm sure you've heard it before, but you just have to see it in the light of what God's after in this hour. Now, a little bit of background. Saul was in Gilgal, and his men were deserting him out of fear. They were surrounded by an enemy, the Philistines, that were in such number that they were outnumbered several hundred to one. And everybody was defecting and going over to the enemy side, even the Israelites. And so it was a very scary time. Fear was gripping the heart of even God's people. And Jonathan said to a young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, and it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few." Now understand who this armor bearer is. He's the guy who collects the hockey sticks after the amateur team is done and before. I mean, just a kid, you know. He just wants to be there with the big players, you know. And he's just a kid. He just carries the sticks. You know, the same thing like, out in the play yard, you know, the guy who just collects the play stuff. This is a kid, all right? And I want you to see who the real hero in this story is. It isn't Jonathan. It's this little kid. Why? Next verse. And his armor bearer said unto him, "Sure. Let's go commit suicide." Yeah, let's go up to this army where we're outnumbered hundreds and hundreds to one. You know, let's take on Wall Street. You know, let's just go for it, you know. I mean, hey, I'm with it according to your heart. All right, go on. Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them." Now, if you want to have a tactical advantage so that you might just have a chance, you use the element of surprise. This Jonathan says, "No way. We're going to go over to them and shout to them so we get their attention so they see how many of us are there." Okay? It gets better. Go on. "If they say thus to us, 'Tarry until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and will not go up to them." Okay. "But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." Ever wish maybe the Lord would give a bigger sign? George Mueller was at his study one day, and the Lord spoke to him about building this huge orphanage, because the kids were over 300 at the time, and they needed a bigger place. Just spoke to him. So he goes out to the play yard where one of the kids found a penny and gives it to them. She says, "This is for your new building." And he said, "This is the sign from God to build." Talk about faith. I'd like the big $100,000 check to get me started when you one penny. All right, so this is the sign. I mean, Jonathan's all excited. Imagine you being the armor bearer. You still excited? Oh, it gets better. Go on. And both of them discovered themselves into the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. Move on. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them out of the hand into the hand of Israel. Whoa, and the armor bearer says, right. Now, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and his feet, and his armor bearer after him. Second tactical maneuver, when you're engaging the enemy, it's best that you're not on your hands and feet climbing up a hill. Usually, you want to be on high ground, not on low ground. Are you getting the picture here? This is all wrong. When you're moving into miraculous territory, don't be surprised if there's contradictory circumstances that are facing you. It's part of the course. It deals with something in your mind. Something about Jonathan was so sure that he was going to win this thing that he didn't even flinch. Now, the armor bearer was something else. He's like you and me. He's like, wait a moment here. You know, things are going pretty fast here. Let me think about this for a moment. Don't ever let thinking take you out of the place of faith. This thing's of the heart. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. By heart, a man believes. With a man's heart, he believes. And we're talking about so expecting us to move in the miraculous all the time because Jesus did, therefore we're going to, that we just get convinced that, Lord, today is a day where the miraculous is going to flow through me again. I'm expecting it. I'm preparing for it. How do you prepare for it? I'm reading the Word. I open it up, and I'm renewing my mind so that I'm getting like Jonathan. How many of you see that this is a renewed mind? He's not looking at the natural circumstances. He's just going for it. Now, and his armor bearer, look at this. And they fell, he says, they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew them after him. I mean, this is supernatural. Something is happening where I can't imagine what happened when they got to the top, where maybe, you know, Jonathan had come up like this with his sword, and as soon as he came to the first one, he just ripped him right open. Praise God. I'm listening to an audio book right now on the 300 who took the battle at Thermopylae. Oh, such courage. Such faith in a cause. You know, such a belief in one another working together. And literally they changed the course of history because of their courage. But this is something that was natural. But this is supernatural. And there's a call to the church of Jesus Christ in this hour to rise to this place of supernatural courage, slaying the enemy, because it produces something. Move on. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, half an acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Move on. And there was trembling in the host. Where's the fear going now? It's going into the camp of the enemy. How many of you realize the enemy is motivated by fear? And what he tries to do is release what he is upon you. And, you know, if you inculcate yourself with that, it'll become what you eventually worship. You will bow down to it, just like even Solomon. Because of the compromises that he made, there were people who were sacrificing to the gods, even in his realm, on the high places. And look at this. And among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. Now the fear is coming upon the enemy camp, and the earth quaked. Yeah. We live in a time of great shaking, and all that can be shaken will be shaken. But what happened? The shaking happened because one young man decided with another, sent them out two by two, that they were going to change their circumstance. Fear was overtaking the camp, and the enemy was prevailing. I said, enough's enough. How many of you get to the place where enough's enough? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to live like this anymore. And so he did something, and there was a very great trembling. Go on. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. and they went on beating down one another. Now the enemy's turning on himself. This is a beautiful picture of the demonic host. When the saints of God raise up in faith, whether it be whatever area it is in your life, when you have a personal breakthrough and you move into a renewed mind where you touch the will and purposes of God so that you start seeing things happen that only God can do, you're touching this realm that pleases the Father and was what Jesus walked in. Praise God. And you know what? We need to climb higher and move higher in our faith. We don't have to be just, you know, having had a breakthrough, we just sit on that thing. There's always got to be that something inside us to go higher. Like the English test pilot, his name was Henley. He went up in a test plane once, and while he was up there at several thousand feet, he realized there was a rat that came out and was chewing on the fuel lines. So he went higher until there was no more oxygen and the rat died. Sometimes you got to go above the snake line, you know, where he can't touch you anymore. You know, you have to go in that place of praise and worship where all of a sudden heaven matters more than the world. And you touch that realm that Jonathan must have walked in. It's called the anointing. It makes you larger than life. It helps you to go beyond what you could normally achieve in your own ability. It's God coming upon you. All right, if we could go to verse 21. This is so cool. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. It's more than just us, is it? When we rise up in supernatural courage and bring strength to the camp, we bring a change to our culture. Those people who had lost their identity for a little bit and began to connect with the other side, when they heard there was God moving again in power, when they heard of the miraculous intervention, they got courage and they rose up. That's why it's so important for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to encourage one another as we gather. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the holiest place had something inside of it called the Ark of the Testimony? Have you ever read that? Have you ever heard that? Can you wave at me something to see that you're alive and breathing? Okay, praise God. The Ark of the Testimony. And on the Ark of the Testimony, there was a seat called the Mercy Seat, right? So if you went in to the Ark of the Testimony, you would receive mercy. How it worked is they would throw the blood on the Ark of the Testimony, which had inside the law. And the mercy of God would see the blood, and you would be freed to go in and partake of the very presence of God. Stories are our testimony of the miraculous work of God. And when we share those testimonies, the mercy of God is released to build one another's faith. And we are encouraged. We come on. Bad news takes you down and deflates you. It takes something out of you. Good news builds you up. It encourages you. It gets you to a point where I can do that too. Do you know that it used to be that nobody could do the 4-minute mile? And when somebody broke that, everybody could do it. It's amazing that Mark Spitz had a certain record, and then this new guy comes on and breaks it by almost, you know, whole bunches of seconds. I mean, you know, and now that's going to be the standard because it's been done. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it better. And that's what happens with our faith and how we grow in the things of God as we encourage one another. Praise God. Well, it didn't only happen with those who had left the camp and gone with the enemy. Not only had they had a change of their identity from a false identity of seeing themselves as mere natural people, as a new identity, our real identity as being identified with the people of God, the supernatural people of God. But the next verse, likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, these are the ones that are in church who are complacent. And it could be all of us from time to time. We just know better, but we just sort of don't go there. We don't read our Bible. We don't pray. We don't praise. You know, all the stuff that we know we're supposed to do. We just go into a kind of like a sleep mode, you know, cruise control. All right. When they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Praise God. So when something miraculous happens in your life, come on up here. Tell it to the body. Release the mercy of God to maybe shake us out of our slumber. Because that's a big thing in this area. It's very easy to get just sort of caught up in the natural and not believe for the supernatural. But we got to press there. We got to go there because Jesus commanded us to heal the sick, raise the dead. I mean, to do good works, to deliver people from some supernatural bondages. Praise God. So I'm pressing into that, and so are you. We could close with this, another story. But a question is, do you inspire people to press into God, to obey God more? I mean, does your life, is it such an arc of the testimony that it inspires others? No, don't answer that. But I mean, you know, just think about it. I mean, does your life inspire? When people come into your shop or they come into your place of business or you go into their place of business, is there an impartation where they are inspired to go after God in a higher way? Look at this, 2 Samuel 23 and 8. 2 Samuel 23 and 8. Now these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. And it goes on about all these folks. How many of you realize who the mighty men started out? 3D people in the cave of Adullam. There were about 600 of them. They were all in debt. They were all discouraged. I mean, can you imagine? And they were depressed. What a group. Can you imagine? I mean, sometimes I wonder if it's not how some of our feelings are right now. But it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. You know, your faith might be a little immature. Your trust might be a little immature. It's going to grow. We're going to get there. We're going to be to the place where we're going to see a breakthrough and believe for it and just walk in it in the Spirit. Let's move on. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I'm sorry, it's in there. One of the three mighty men of David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered in battle, the men of Israel going away. Let's see what they did. Move on. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. I mean, it froze to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. I mean, that's supernatural. You know what I mean? This guy was just like, well, the thing was just frozen. You know, during the revival, we had people who were stuck to the floor, couldn't get out. They were trying to run out of the building so they wouldn't get saved, and their toe was stuck. And they were, his hand was frozen, you know, and he's just, you know, he's just like, oh, well, here we go, you know. Praise God. I believe in the previous verse it said one guy slew 800 men with a spear. Whoa. It's amazing the thing didn't break. That's supernatural. Usually they break pretty soon. But he just wielded that thing and took it. Let's go on. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And go on, let's move on. And the people fled. The people fled. But he stood in the midst of the ground, supernatural courage, and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory, and the people came back. Do you see that? See what courage does? It's infectious. You know, the 10 spies brought fear. The two spies couldn't get enough votes to win the elections. And so the fear became contagious and took the people out. Let's move on. I think there's another one. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest. Oh, okay. This is during the time when David needed water, and these folks risked their lives to get that to him. But the point of it all is that, you know, acts of courage become an infectious, mercy-filled message that infects the entire body of Christ and gives you a winner-take-all, I can lick 39 tigers today kind of spirit. And we need to individually see our responsibility before God to trust Him for the supernatural, whether it be in our finances, whether it be for our children, all right? I'm still believing for something supernatural to happen in my kids. And you know what? It's starting to happen. Jessica wrote an email and she said, Dad, when I called the other night and just asked for prayer and you prayed with me, it was a turning point in my life. And then she wrote another email and she said, you know, when I call and just ask for prayer, just pray with me. You don't know what it's doing, but it's changing me. And I met a guy, and we're going to the same church together, and he seems to be interested in the things of God. And we're just saying, sounds pretty good. Still not standard that I'm looking for, but, you know, we keep praying. I mean, years ago when my son, Tim, left to play in a rock band that was called Treaded Underfoot, I'm thinking, good Lord, you know what I mean? We're supposed to tread on the enemy, not the enemy treading on us. But I had a snake, and the snake was treading on, you know, it's just weird. And so I got a scripture in Malachi which talks about breaking the bands of wickedness. Rock band of wickedness. A little play on words, a little funny thing, ha ha. But I took that and said, Lord, break this thing up. Took 3 years. But the band broke up, and he went on to something else. And I'll tell you, it's a lot more tender. We get together. In fact, things are changing. I mean, he used to be like the Chamber of Commerce for Charlotte, and he used to always be talking about how great it was. Now, we were recently in the wooded area. It was really quiet, and he was just saying, you know, Charlotte isn't all it's cracked up to be. And I'm thinking that maybe. And I just see change coming. You know what I mean? It's just like just we're in for the long haul here. You know what I'm saying? But we don't cease to proclaim and believe the miraculous for our kids. You know what I mean? You can get beaten down and look at the same thing. You know, you have a family reunion or something, and you see some things that really trouble you, and you can look at that and say, it isn't working. But you know what you got to do. The Lord's just taking the contradictory circumstances and saying, okay, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to invest in the supernatural? Are you going to move into the miraculous? Are you going to just live there? Are you going to allow me to build your faith to the place where you come to that mindset Jonathan had, where it's like, I can do this. The enemy is mine. And I'm coming to that place again and again and again where I'm just, you know, whenever I begin to waver, I go to the Word to find something that takes me to that place where the peace that passes understanding comes. And I just pray in that realm, not out of anxiety, but just peace. And I'm just thanking the Lord and praising Him. My wife sent an email around that, you know, this is an hour when we need to fill the airwaves with praise to create of an atmosphere that drives out the enemy, that takes us above the snake line, that takes the oxygen out that they can't breathe as we breathe in the pure air of the Holy Ghost. How many of you realize that just bothers the enemy the most? I mean, he used to be the worship leader in heaven, and when we take that place, it really bothers him, you know what I mean? And so it's the type of thing where that has amazing effect. And I just want to encourage you that be that at college, you know, you're struggling. David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. You mean there's a place of supernatural provision in God where there's clarity of thought, there's supernatural ability to move beyond what I can naturally do? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If God called you there, He's prepared a place for you where you're going to meet the supernatural power of God and rise to a whole new level. And if things seem to be contradictory right now, that's just because you're on miracle ground. Hold your ground. Feed yourself in the Word. And it's one thing to read the Word. It's another thing to allow it to touch your heart. I would encourage you to go to that place where your faith is literally transformed because of an encounter with God. Hallelujah. You know, in the New Testament, the disciples experienced God and then wrote about it later. They encountered God. They said, what's that? Oh, this is what was said in the Old Testament about this and that, stammering lips and all this. This is that tongue stuff that we were reading about in the Old Testament. That's what it is. And they worked by revelation past this into this. I want to encourage you, you know. You've encountered God when your heart is impacted and something rises up within you where something says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. So they cut my income in half. I'm still going to be faithful because He's faithful. He's called me to be a Christian. He said He'll never leave me or forsake me. Okay, so circumstances have changed. So what? What am I going to do? Am I going to take a couple steps back or am I going to walk forward? You see? And that's the decision we have to make all the time. And that's how we mature in faith. Renewing our mind until we agree God for the supernatural. It doesn't make sense, but it's okay. You know? Hallelujah. Father, I just pray right now for each and every one here that You take the examples of Jonathan and the mighty men. And Father, You impact our hearts that these are not stories of historical figures. But Father, this is even those under an old covenant who rose up in the anointing and did marvelous things to change their culture in their time. And Father, we live under an even better covenant with better promises. How much more can we walk like You did? And so we ask, Father, that You take us deeper into the supernatural realm. Father, in our finances, in our relationships with our families and our workplace, that we see the supernatural provision of God, Lord, just fall all over this church and over this region. Father, we desire to see more of the power of God. We desire to see You arise and give glory to Your Son. Father, we just thank You that Your name would be lifted up in praise and honor and reverence and awe as miraculous things happen that no one can deny. Help them to flow through us. Help them to happen here in this place. We just ask, Father, that You strengthen us with might in the inner man. That You give us the strength of courage to open up the Word every day until our mind's renewed, where we go into that risky place where we believe You to work the impossible through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have an incredible day.